Our first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. You can find that on 113 of your Pew Bible in the New Testament. The reference right at the beginning of this lesson is to the fact that Peter and John were together and healed a crippled man just before this section. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this healing? And why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from the first letter of John. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 225 of the New Testament. Hear now the words of the Apostle John. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. But what we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 36b through 48. You can find that in your Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 85. We're still within those first few days after the resurrection. "Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you frightened, and why did doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?'" He sounds like a Methodist. "They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, this week as I was considering this scripture, and in fact, thinking about the entire New Testament, I'm struck by the number of times Jesus reminds those who are listening that what He is doing is in direct fulfillment of what the Scriptures have said. Now, as you well know, Jesus was a keen student of the Hebrew Bible. He knew Torah like the back of His hand, the Law of Moses, and He was all the time quoting Scripture. What was the most oft quote by Jesus? What book? Anybody know? Isaiah. The adults class was studying this morning. He most often quotes Isaiah, but He's all the time talking about how His actions are the fulfillment of Scripture. Well, as you can see in the Acts of the Apostles, His followers also knew this about Him, and they, Peter and John and the other apostles, are also always reminding people that what Jesus did, He did in fulfillment of the Scripture. Now, that's very true. And as you think about it, when you look back at the Old Testament, you understand that for literally thousands of years, the Hebrew people, the Jewish folks, the nation of Israel, had been looking and waiting to see their promised Messiah. Jesus was that man. People could have expected, could rightly have expected, that Jesus would come when He was resurrected, would show up on a white horse, on a steed, and shining army with a parade of soldiers lined out behind Him. Well, not Jesus. Jesus had an independent streak, if you will. Jesus did things in His own way. Jesus didn't show up like that when He came to Jerusalem the first time on Palm Sunday. And surely, Jesus didn't come that way when He showed up to His apostles on Easter Sunday at the date of the resurrection. No, in very high contrast, on that day, Jesus appeared from beyond locked doors. He showed up unobtrusively to His followers, and even though they were terrified, Jesus tried to calm their fears. Peace be with you. It's not a ghost that you're seeing, it's Me. And He used the most simplistic means of convincing them of His humanity. He said, take a look and see and feel, touch Me. I am the Lord. And just in one further proof of His humanity, He said, do you have anything to eat? And He ate a piece of broiled fish in front of them to prove that everything was the way it had been before. Almost. At that point, Jesus said to them, everything I did, I told you about. I told you that I would do what is the fulfillment of Scripture from time immemorial. And in something that I wish for and pray for, Jesus opened their minds so that they could remember all the lessons of Scripture without even trying. And Jesus said, things are different now. No longer are you students, but rather you are teachers. And it will be your job to teach the good news of My resurrection to all nations, beginning right here in Jerusalem. And He left them with the line, you are witnesses to this thing. Today, as you know, is Native American Ministry Sunday. And I want you to think about for a moment those leaders of the United Methodist Church who are, in addition, Native American people. I'm a firm believer that you shouldn't go around making generalizations about any group of people. To say all Native Americans is like saying all Europeans. Not only is that unfair, it is likely untrue. But I think there are some sort of broad things we can say about, well, for me, for my own observation, about Native American leaders I have known. And I think what you can say without fear of contradiction is that leaders of our church who are Indian peoples are trying to fulfill Scripture, and they're trying to be directly in line with who they are as Native peoples, not unlike what Jesus did. If you think about that, all of us, as United Methodist people, are trying to do things. We're trying to do two things. We're trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and we're also trying to change people's lives to reflect the love of God. Well, Native American leaders are no different. But one thing that I believe sets them apart, when you think about Native peoples, almost all nations of Native peoples have a high regard for the sacredness of the earth. They have almost a sacred ethic of creation and of being wise stewards of all the natural resources of our earth. And if you think about it further still, you'll recognize that many Native American cultures go back literally thousands of years, well before European people came to the shores of the Americas. And today, in the 21st century, Native American leaders in our church, in all Christian churches, are trying to be true to their discipleship of Jesus Christ while also retaining the rich heritage of their Native American nations, which are independent of each other. And this, I believe, is one of the reasons why we in the Rocky Mountain West recognize the richness and the value of Native cultures. They are clearly worthy of our respect. But I believe that the very same things could and should be said of all those in the Tongan culture, and the Ghanaian culture, and the Congolese culture, and the white European culture as well. We are all after the same things. We are all trying to be good disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're trying to transform the world while at the same time being true to our heritage. We are trying to be independent and interdependent and authentic. Just think for a moment. Think in your own mind what it will be like when each of us takes seriously the Holy Bible that we read. What would it be like if, when you read the Bible, you say, "It is up to me to be the fulfillment of the Scriptures. It is up to me to carry out the words and the lessons that Jesus taught us." Because it is not only the responsibility of Jesus to fulfill God's plan. It is not only up to the apostles to fulfill God's plan. It is not only up to John Wesley to fulfill God's plans. It is up to each of us to fulfill God's plans. Each of us has a role to play in that transformation of the world by making disciples of Jesus Christ. It is up to each of us to fulfill Scripture and at the very same time to be independent, interdependent, and authentic. My brothers and sisters, by the glory of God, by the power of Jesus Christ, and by the excitement of the Holy Spirit, let it be so. Amen.